All right, I'm going to tell y'all how I like to use one of my favorite tools out in the woods, and that is the tracker from Onyx Hunt. So here's how I've been using it lately. I got this new property I'm going to be hunting this year, and the very first thing I did on the property was I went out and I drove all of the roads that are drivable in my truck, and I had the tracker on as I was driving around. So after I got done driving around, I selected the track on my app and changed it to where it's just a solid black line. So now I've got a really nice, easy to see roadmap of everywhere that's drivable in a truck on the property. So here's what that does for me so far. Now I've got an easy to read map of everywhere that you can drive in a truck on the property. But also that roadmap is actually very useful because it makes it very easy for me to see what roads are drivable and what parts of the property are most accessible and what parts of the property are least accessible. Like I said, one of my favorite tools. If you're not using it already, you should be. And if you want to give Onyx a try, go get an Elite membership and use the promo code Southern at checkout. That's going to save you 20% and it's going to help the show out. Know where you stand with Onyx Hunt. If you hunt deer out of trees, you need to go check out latitudeoutdoors.com. They got a little something for everybody, whether you're a saddle guy or if you hunt out of a climber. Of course, Latitude makes some of our favorite saddles and climbing sticks, but they also make some great packs and backpack straps that you can attach to the bottom of a climbing tree stand to make it more comfortable to carry in the woods. Probably my favorite piece of gear I've gotten in the last several years is the Ranger 22 from Latitude. It's like a do-it-all backpack for me. It's compact, which I like, but it's adjustable enough that it gets me through the whole season. It's the only pack I use. I use it in early bow season, when I'm not carrying much in the woods, all the way to late January rut hunts in the deep south when it's cold and I'm carrying all kinds of clothes and all kinds of stuff on my back. The Ranger 22 is adjustable enough that I can just use that one backpack all season. And hey, all you Mossy Oak Bottomland fans, they just released the Ranger 22 in Mossy Oak Bottomland. So like I said, no matter how you like to hunt, Latitude's got something for you. Go check them out at latitudeoutdoors.com.
Well, guys, meet your new favorite summer scouting optic, and no, it's never too early to start scouting for the fall. Introducing the Vortex Crossfire Spotting Scopes with three different models of how you glass. Me and Andrew have both used spotting scopes in the summer to go out and glass fresh, clear cuts that's got a little bit of growth on them to find bachelor groups actually feeding in the summer. It's a pretty fun time, and also it's a great opportunity to take your kids out, especially if you can sit in the truck while you're glassing. It's always one of those pieces of optics like to keep in the truck at all times because you never know when you might need it. Be sure to stop by your local Vortex dealer to get out the all-new Crossfire Spotting Scopes or to get 10% off your favorite spotter, head over to eurooptic.com and enter code Southern10 at checkout to save 10% on your order.
You know, one reason that we named our company the Southern Outdoorsman is because we're not just Southern deer hunters or Southern turkey hunters. We kind of hunt everything: quail, doves, waterfowl, rabbits, squirrels, you name it. I know a lot of you guys are the same way, and our friends at Whitetail Hill are like that as well. Whether you've got a hunting club, a lease, or your own property, they've got a blend for pretty much every situation on a piece of ground. I mean, they've got a seed blend for everything. If you want warm season deer forage, check out Summer Bulk. If you need to screen off a plot or cover an access route, Hideaway grows up to 12 feet tall and is built for that exact purpose. You got a duck hole or a pond edge? Check out the waterfowl blend. You want to plant for doves or quail? Check out their dove and quail plot. If you need soil that needs a little bit of work before fall, check out Dirt Doctor. And of course, they got a full cool season lineup ready to go when fall planting time gets here. And if you're unsure about what to plant, go to whitetailhill.com. They've got a seed selection guide on there that'll help you pinpoint exactly what you need on your property. So y'all check them out today. That's Whitetail Hill. Go to whitetailhill.com. You know, most hunters don't think about their food plots until it's time to throw down some seed for the fall. And if that's the case, you might be leaving a lot on the table. If you want deer using your plots when season opens, you need to give them a reason to be there all summer long. That's how you build movement patterns. Not hoping for them in October, establish them in June. On top of that, bucks are growing antlers right now, does are about to be nursing fawns, and your plots can be a real herd health tool during the summer months, not just a hunting tool come fall. Whitetail Hill has a warm season lineup built exactly for this. Summer Bulk is their big warm season forage blend. It grows 4 to 5 feet tall, holds up to browsing pressure way better than something like soybeans, and it'll carry all the way to the first frost. So it doubles down as an early season food plot for us down here in the south. Then if your soil needs a little bit of work first, check out Dirt Doctor. It builds topsoil, breaks up compaction, and gets your plots in shape for a great fall planting. So check out Summer Bulk and Dirt Doctor at whitetailhill.com. Again, that's whitetailhill.com.
Hey, 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 everybody, what's up? Sorry for the slight delay in podcast. If you're listening to this the day that it dropped, you're going to notice that it dropped a little bit later than normal. That is because we were pretty much camping all weekend. We were all hunting in North Alabama, which is what this podcast is about. And basically, we all got back super late. And Parker, who sent me the podcast, I didn't get it till like 12:30, which is not long after I got home. So I just had to wake up and mess with it this morning. Also, there's been like a slight delay in content period because my computer crashed pretty much last week. So kind of had to start everything over, which has been a pain in the butt, which is why there's no music on this intro. So my apologies for that, everybody. But we're going to get back on track here and start cranking out stuff as normal, as we have been all fall. So a few quick things before we get to this podcast. We just picked a winner for the competition on YouTube where you go to the Lone Wolf video and you comment Alpha Tech on the rope mod video and you subscribe to the channel. The winner of that contest is Jonathan Rivenbark. I hope I said your name right. I probably butchered it, and if I did, I'm sorry. But email us at aloutdoors8.com if you are that winner. And if you don't reach out to us by the next episode, we'll pick a new person. So everyone be watching out for that. So yeah, hopefully you reach out to us and we can send a stand your way. Other than that, this podcast we did as a kind of a joint podcast with the guys from Southern Ground, being Michael Pike and Parker McDonald, Tyler Malone. We went over to their camper after we all got done hunting and just kind of discussed what we all had going on, some of the things that we were trying, what we were seeing. And fair warning, it was like 11:30. We were all running on a little sleep and we were all exhausted. So this is probably going to be a pretty funny podcast. Probably more funny than there is for like substance as far as like good hunting information. We do talk about some like tactic stuff, including how Jacob gets permission at pretty much every door he knocks on. But yeah, so this should be a pretty funny podcast. Y'all let us know what you think of it. And hopefully everything will be back to normal by next week. But without further ado, here it is.
Yo, I'm tired.
I know.
Do you ever get like so tired that you feel like you're like drunk?
Yeah.
Like you could say some stupid stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Perfect podcast.
That's
recipe right there.
That's what I feel like right now.
Oh, man.
But this is the Southern Outdoorsman's Grounds. Southern Groundsman.
The Southern Groundsman.
This is a Southern Groundsman hunting podcast.
We like mow lawns now.
We're going to start a landscaping company.
And that's how we'll get permission to hunt in rich neighborhoods.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's
awesome.
That's it.
So a good idea has already been birthed on this podcast.
It's been a fun week, but I'm wiped out, man.
Yep.
I'm not looking forward to pretty much anything tomorrow. Like, I just don't want to do it.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not looking forward to going back into that marsh tomorrow, but I know I have to.
You're going to do it.
I'm going to do it.
You're committed.
It's going to suck, but I'm going to do it.
We've only been here for a day. Like, today was our only hunt.
Yeah, we're a bunch of sissies, man. Parker's like, I spent 15 hours on the water.
No, in the water yesterday. I hunted a solid 13 hours yesterday from... I didn't hunt till dark. But it was, an hour before dark when I came out? Something like that. It was early, but it rained on me every single minute of that day.
Yep.
Oh my gosh, I'm so tired.
Embrace the suck.
Yeah, you know, y'all keep saying that, but I just kind of feel like, when I get to embrace the not suck?
Man, once you get through the suck.
When you run an arrow through a big old buck.
I guess so. I don't know, man. It's been a fun week, but this place kicks my tail.
It's brutal. I can see being brutal, especially what you're all doing.
Yeah.
I mean, like, hiking isn't a big deal for, like, me and us. That's because we're used to it. But, like, dude, I can't imagine paddling, especially how many miles y'all have done.
We've paddled some miles.
Dude. Yeah, forget
so that. Who we got here? Who's all here?
I was about to say, we need to do some intros. Okay. Andrew Maxwell, Southern Outdoorsman.
Ginger Bow Hunter himself, Jacob Myers, Southern Outdoorsman.
JT Watkins.
The man who steps on rattlesnakes.
Yep.
Steps on rattlesnakes.
Yep. We'll get to that.
We'll get that story.
Did that happen recently?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. This summer.
Oh, this summer.
Larry in a scouting trip. What? July?
Look at that.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible says something about stepping on the head of the snake. It sounds like with your heel. Did you do that?
Probably. Twice. I think twice. Once going that way, once coming back.
Man, that's living the right life.
Yep.
Who, and
Tyler Malone, Southern Ground.
And Parker McDonald of Southern Ground. And Michael is here with us, but he had to go track a deer tonight.
Mm-hmm. Unsuccessful.
You just make all the noise you want. You look tired, Tyler.
Wow.
Adult too.
So Tyler got to do his first kayak.
Let's talk about hunt
weekend.
About that. Yeah.
Like, talk about your first weekend.
Like, what's your thoughts? Because I personally looked at getting a kayak. So you're a perfect example. Explain benefits and what was bad about it.
You don't have to spend a lot of money on a kayak.
Okay.
I got $60 and mine. It was pink when I bought it. why so cheap? I camouflaged it and. It held up one whole day. It felt like a week long, but one day.
You get used to it after a while.
Yeah.
Like when it starts becoming the norm, hey, I'm going to paddle every time that I hunt.
Yeah.
When that starts becoming the norm, it's like you're just used to being tired after you hunt. That's just like how it is.
Oh, yeah, dude. That's how I am walking now. When we were getting out of there this afternoon, I was just like ripping through a soybean field. I was plowing it up.
Dude, tilling the ground, it was bad. Dude, dragging soybean plants.
They were making fun of me. I was like, I just turned my legs off and I go. I'm like, I'm getting back to the truck where my water bottle is. And I'm going to go chug all the water.
Yeah, because we don't take water with us because we're trying to save weight. And when we're sitting in the truck trying to decide what we need to take, it's like, oh, I just had a drink of that. I don't need that.
It's like, yeah, I'll take this camera arm, all my camo. Take maybe a granola bar.
Binaries.
Take all kinds of useless crap, and then no, I don't need water.
I don't need water. I'm okay. So are the soybeans in there green?
No.
Well, so where we saw the deer this afternoon, which we're like jumping ahead here, but where we saw the deer was a soybean field that was like starting to yellow. But
okay.
It was threw out some clover in it. And that's what the deer were eating.
Okay.
Yeah, clover.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So we're hunting two different
tracks.
Areas, two different WMAs.
Before we started this, we should have had code names for everything, but you know.
Yeah, code name. So what's code name for that one?
Oh, I forgot.
What did we call it? We named that one mountain called Ant Hill.
Oh, yeah, we got the Ant Hill.
Called Ant Hill Unit, there you go.
I don't know, we got a whole bunch of random names. We got the Cadillac Track.
The
Tobacco Track.
Holy Unit.
Mountain unit. It's not a mountain.
Oh, well, thanks for saying
it's not actually a mountain.
Code names.
Yeah, no.
Like, I forgot what we named this place.
I don't know.
It's
called the Privet Track because Privet's everywhere on it.
Dude, I was running through Privet.
Dude, this like guy. Some kind of bulldozer. Dude, listen, so he took us. So, again, we're jumping ahead to like the hunt. He took us back to the truck. A way we did not necessarily go, and went through a wall.
We
walked up, and it was a wall like 10 feet tall of just privet. And I'm like, I filmed it. And I'm like, we're not going through. He's like, oh, we're running through. I'm gonna run through it. I'm like, I'll clear a path for you guys. 30 feet later, we're still going through it, dude. And it's like you can't see. It's just like privet in your face. Oh, it's bad.
We're sitting here.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah, and so that's why we're doing this podcast so late. It's because y'all decided to go through the.
Now,
Privet Forest.
That's well,
the Wall of Jericho of Privet.
Yeah.
Oh, Wall of Jericho. That'd be a good code name.
There you go.
There's already one in up here.
Huh?
There's already a Wall of Jericho.
Exactly.
WMA?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Well, part of Skyline.
Well, that's not where we're going, so I guess people are just going to be confused.
Just let them be.
That's the point.
Yeah, that thicket claimed Jacob's quiver. Which we didn't realize till we got back.
You didn't
back
find
to the
it?
Truck. No, no, we found it.
Oh, okay.
We should go back.
Did you hear what I told him?
No.
I was like, Jacob goes off and buys all this stupid crap all the gear that anybody'd ever need every 10 minutes. He's Badlands. Unboxing video, and
yep.
He can't buy a quiver that'll stay on his bow.
It was bad, man. It made for a great track job and a great video, I'll say that.
Oh yeah, Jacob was upset.
There was a gripping grin at the end of it, I will say that.
He was like, oh, it might be back at the base of the tree. I'm like, then it's sleeping there tonight.
we'll let it lay overnight.
We'll let it lay. We'll track we'll back it out.
Bring the dog and everything in the morning. You're ready for it.
Oh dude. So, yeah. So alright, let's kind of go over the hunts a little bit so people know what we're talking about. So
yeah.
So, Parker, you have scared all the bucks.
Oh, all of them.
All of them?
All of them. Every single one. I feel like I've seen every single buck on the freaking place. Gosh, man.
Walk through it. Well, what you got?
I'll paddle through it real quick.
You see what I did?
So, I've been on deer. Pretty much in every spot that I've been into and marked, there was a deer in it at the moment that I accessed it. So, there's that. Either a deer or a human. So this morning there were 47 people all over the area that I was going. I was joking with Tyler. Said the magic school boat dropped everybody off, dropped all the kids off at the... On these little islands that are back there. Anyway, so I mean, there's deer. I was seeing deer with my flashlight this morning, already on those little islands, and so I couldn't get in there because I'd bump all those deer.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I found a spot this morning, it was already too late, and I jumped a deer at a buck out of his bed, and then I jumped another buck out of his bed this evening. Pretty good buck. Real good buck actually. Yesterday afternoon I paddled to a new spot, and there was a deer standing in the water looking at me, and then a buck, and I found his bed yesterday. And then last weekend I saw a big buck swim across the water in front of me,
and you think he got whacked?
I think he got killed. Yeah, because there was a boat, there was a mud boat. Not a mud boat. Just a boat. I don't know what kind. That was parked there, and that deer crossed the water like 50 yards on the other side of that boat. And I was like, what the heck is he doing? And so I ended up going and getting set up not too far away. About 30 minutes later, that boat cranked up and left with one guy, coming back with two guys, and then leaves again for the night, all before dark. I'm like,
yep, he's not around anymore.
Oh boy, got shot.
Yep.
Which, congrats. I mean, to whoever killed that dude, that was a... I don't know how it happened that way for you, but...
Good for you.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
That's where I'm at. There was a deer standing by my kayak this morning when I got down. At what time was it? 10:30? About 10:30, there was a deer standing by my kayak. There's deer all over the place. They just ain't... walking in front of my tree.
Yep.
What about y'all? Y'all been seeing a lot of deer?
So I'll start with my morning. I saw a doe on the walk in, and then I saw a fawn on the walk out, and that was it. Oh, and I saw a dude somewhere in the middle.
I walked
way back up in there, and I got like under this guy's tree, and I hear a whistle. I'm like, where'd that come from? And he whistles again, and I'm like, this is embarrassing. And I look up, and he's like waving at me from behind the tree. I'm like, sorry.
Was it already light?
Oh yeah, it was like 8:45. I was just pushing back in.
So there. did y'all even come out of the woods at all today after you went in?
Yeah. I was just pushing back there. I was the only truck at the parking lot, and I didn't see any boats in the slough back there. So I was like, okay, push up in there. I don't know where the dude came from. So after I ran into him, I just backed out, went back to camp, buried some taters under some coals.
So you really didn't even hunt this morning much?
No, I didn't do it. I should have slept in
you
this
walked.
Morning. I walked.
We could have shot a doe this morning, and it snuck up on us. And the next thing I know, it's behind him. So we did a double sit. Actually, backtrack, the day before yesterday, That'd be Friday. Drove around, knocked on a bunch of doors. Actually, only knocked on two doors. Tried to get permission to access public through private. Since I didn't want to necessarily walk in with the wind at my back the whole time or come in with a boat. So I got access to one property. And I was like, yeah, no problem. Just pull in the backyard over and just walk back there. And anyway, so we did that. And I found a lot of deer sign, got set up, and got turned around in the swamp. And
so we hiked about 0.8 miles to sit 700 feet from the car.
Like, legit.
Straight up.
Onyx wasn't working. I didn't have offline. I didn't download it. Onyx wasn't working, dude.
I get up in the tree and pin where we are and drag it to the car, and it's 712 feet.
Yeah. But
Feet.
712
Son
feet.
Yeah,
it
is, man. It's a little over 200 yards. But we saw one doe sneak up on us. We were sitting in between two just marshy little thickets. There's a little land bridge that we were kind of sitting on, a doe. I look down. I'm like filming him or something. I look down. There's a doe, which a very small doe. You know, from last year. Looked like a bobcat. Walked right behind him.
Hey, man.
And then next thing I know, it's already out 30 yards behind him.
Another one in the pocket.
Yeah, a little pocket.
Hey, listen. Listen, you need to kill another one so you have enough meat to make up for a whole deer.
Like, that's exactly
a whole normal deer.
You're 100% right. There we go.
God put that deer right in front of you so you can have a full deer.
Yeah.
How many have you killed so far this year?
Two.
Two?
Shot three. Didn't recover the first one. So, two of them off the ground.
Tennessee's been good to you.
It's easy. If you can kill deer, you can go up there. It's easy. I didn't say that on the podcast.
That's what everybody said about Kentucky too, but
no. Yeah. Well, it's like if you're just finding does. Now bucks might be a little bit different. I mean, I've found some bucks, but it's like if you're just going to go and you just want to go kill some does, I don't think it'd be overly difficult, especially out of a day or two. So
that's crazy.
It's always going to new spots. It's never spots I've been to before. Scouting.
Yeah.
Going it's blind. Just... Deer numbers are crazy though. Deer numbers up there. It's phenomenal.
I'll tell you what we need to do in the future. We need to do a podcast on Jacob's like permission game. Like, your success rate is like high as far as like getting access to private. He's got a lady who not only gave him permission to access through a property, but to shoot turkeys on a property, and she bakes him cookies whenever he comes by.
Every time.
No way.
Yep.
That
you just got that salesman awesome. In your blood,
it.
Man.
Yep, I love it.
And she feels bad for you because you're a ginger.
No, she loves my hair. That's another thing. They love my hair, dude. I'll go, man, I'll make sure that hair looks good. I'll walk up and they're like...
Does she think y'all are, like, together?
I don't know if she's 85 years old.
I don't mean
if she has some more property, maybe. I don't know.
maybe it can work out.
How many acres do you have?
She's only got four that I don't know. Put a couple zeros behind it, maybe. Okay.
That's... Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, the morning was kind of slow. Yep. Afternoon was good.
Afternoon was awesome. Yeah.
It was eventful.
And that's another thing. We scouted yesterday. I scouted hunting pressure. I wanted to see where guys were parking on Friday, and we kind of played that to our hand today. And I definitely think it worked out for us. But yeah, afternoon was interesting to say the least. Didn't know what we really wanted to do. And decided to go to one spot and wanted to hike in back to some marshes. I mean, pretty much. What it was. I mean, it was I mean, how far was it? A mile
is the crow flies.
But it's probably at least a mile and a quarter.
Yeah, at least. Because you got to zigzag, cross three creeks. It's terrible. Like, swamp grass in there, it's like up to your hips that you just got to like wade through.
It's like you find deer
sign. A lot of blowdown, too. It's like a ton of blowdown.
Yeah, and you like find pockets of deer sign, there's no deer sign. Pockets of deer sign, no deer sign. Yeah. It's like, you think it'd be everywhere, but it's not. And that made me paranoid.
Yeah, when we got in there and we were like, we saw like a couple like month old rubs, I was like, oh crap. We walked like all the way in here and we're going to see like a coyote and a squirrel.
And that's one of my tactics is like, I believe there's a point when you're walking so far in, you're walking into more pressure.
Yeah.
Like, because people are either coming from the backside or people are making a round to somehow get in there. And I felt that's what we were doing. We're like walking so far, getting past the point of no return.
Walking past the deer.
I do that a lot. I'll be like, oh, if the sign's this good here.
Yeah, what's over
there? Surely.
Over no, here, dude, it's yeah. It's like not knowing what to walk past is a hard.
Well, that's what helped us today. So we all three walked in this afternoon. We were kind of like stagger where we were going to see it set up.
Mm-hmm.
We had JT set up in one location. It had a big blowdown, and just it just looked good around the creek. We made like 120 yards, and dude, their deer sign was everywhere. And it was this big oak flat. And little creek crossing and stuff like that. Or like, dude, I called him. I'm like, you set up yet? I was like, I didn't unload my backpack. I'm like, walk up here and you need to sit here. It paid off.
That's where he was, huh?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So he said about 130-inch 9-point?
Yeah, he's a big deer.
What did he look like again?
He's about 2.5, 3-year-old deer, roughly. Just big, about 10, 11-inch G2s. Main beam's about touched in the front.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's big mass.
He watched it for a while, too.
Yeah, I watched him for about 45 minutes. Palmated under the G2s. Big deer. God.
Just didn't have a camera.
Look, no camera. The only guy in this room that didn't have a camera with him.
Right. He was about 80 yards away.
Golly.
Had a GoPro.
Yeah, all he had to do was hang it right.
Throw the GoPro at him. Right there. Might get a good shot somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're filming the GoPro in 4K, we could blow that up. Joker up and we'd be good to go. Yeah.
You wouldn't have seen it. It was so thick. Where he was, it was thick.
Yeah.
He's on the south side of a marsh.
That's the crazy thing. Talking about like how young he thought that deer was. I talked to another landowner I was trying to get permission from. Found out he wasn't the landowner I needed to talk to. He talked to me for an hour, and he hunts just north of that property. And they killed a 141-inch 2.5-year-old. They took it to a biologist and aged a 2.5-year-old, 142-inch or 141-inch. And that was like 3 or 4 years ago. He's like, the genetics are here. I'm like, that deer would have been a 200-inch deer probably if it would have made it 5 or 6.
That's crazy, man.
That's nuts.
So
what kind of deer sign are you seeing? Like buck sign?
We got in there. So we put JT in his spot, and we're pushing in deeper. And we hit the south side of the marsh where that buck ended up walking. And there was like 2 rubs right there that were just kind of old. They're like not really impressive. But it was right on the south side of that bedding area, and if it wasn't so, we stopped, and I was like, this is a good spot, but we're too close to JT, so we kept going, and then we went through an area that was just kind of void, you know, rubs here and there,
mm-hmm.
And then we got back to this one spot where there's a cattail marsh. I mean, it's like a, I don't know, it's mostly dry, but there's pockets of water in it, a lot of cattails, mm-hmm. with a thick brush around the edges, and there's probably like 15 or so, like brand spanking new rubs, way high up on the trees, like good sized trees too, 2 fresh scrapes.
Yeah, I was gonna say, found some scrapes too that were kind of caught me off guard because mm-hmm. they weren't like, you know, you find like community scrapes this time, they mm-hmm. look like community scrapes, looked like buck was trying to work that edge right there mm-hmm. on that tree line.
Yeah.
So that was kind of fascinating as well, got me kind of fired up for that location. But yeah, just a couple scrapes and then, you know, a mixture of rubs. But we found a couple of big rubs next to that cattail marsh. Other than that, man, they're like, I mean, nothing like what, you know, we've seen on other properties. Mm-hmm. Nothing like that.
I mean, nothing like on a tree the size of a leg.
Right.
I mean, still like good sized trees, and they're like hip height or above. Mm-hmm. And there's some good trails coming out of there. There's some like tiny land bridges going through the marsh that had good trails on them. And, yeah, so we set up right there in the corner of that field.
Hey, bro, we're recording.
that background noise, though. Real world field.
Are you
man.
Drinking that water?
Yeah.
Is that water okay to drink, Tyler?
Uh-oh.
Here he is.
Now's the party. Oh,
he's taking my place.
Sub Alpine and everything.
Chicken made me sick today. Remember the chicken?
Uh-huh.
Man, I can barely walk.
Dude.
We're recording right now. Say hello. Introduce yourself.
What's up, guys? I'm the
slamming the door dude.
Stripper.
It's tough with audio content to, like, get the actual feel. Like, literally, the feeling of the room is, right now, I can't wait until this podcast is over because I want to go to bed.
Yep.
Like, I feel like every single person truck. In here is thinking the same thing. I really
hope I wake up in the morning.
Hope I wake up because I gotta go to work.
Yeah, that would suck.
So,
I suggest waking up.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yo, I got into poison oak again today.
Let me tell you about some poison ivy.
We're about to figure out how allergic me and Andrew are to poison ivy. So, Andrew picks the one tree. It's the one tree we can sit on this one spot where these deer.
We're like, that's a gnarly tree, but I was like, we have to sit in that tree.
Are we really recording right now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude. Dude, we got up in that joke.
Tyler, you going to bed, bro?
Yeah, I'm
so
sick.
It's a McDonald's, man.
It's just Michael's taking my place. Hey, for everybody
Tyler,
listening.
Can I have one of your beers?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, we can't say that. Yeah.
I guess we can edit it out just like we give away all my spots.
Oh, we've already.
Oh, God.
We might have spilled the beans a little bit. Kind of. Not really. I mean, if someone's doing their homework, they can figure it out. But the way that y'all are talking about your spots, I don't know if anybody would want to come in there.
No. Just be, I don't.
Well, God, thanks, Andrew.
It'd be a drop in the ocean.
The way you guys are talking about y'all spots, I don't know that anybody'd care to go in this place.
You got the magic school boat.
I don't think you're going to have anything to worry about.
What's your name?
JT.
JT, Michael. Nice to meet you, man.
So Michael and JT just met for the first time ever. That was cute.
Met the rest of y'all other parties.
Exactly.
Parties.
So you just got done
stripping at another house.
That's staying in the podcast.
That was quick. I'm proud of you. That was good. That was real quick.
She said. Yeah, I'm pretty dirty.
Well, oh, man. Comes with the business, I guess.
That's that so, delirium, I guess.
So you were not stripping. You were...
No, yeah, I was.
While y'all were tracking that deer?
Yeah. We had strobe lights going and...
had the dog out there and everything.
Should have seen the boat. It was like... We had purple lights around it.
Y'all were using those LED strips, just cranking some Drake. Oh my gosh.
I don't even know where we were.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, you said something about poison oak? Bear hugged a giant poison ivy vine and put my face in it.
My whole arm is going to be covered.
Yep.
Probably by like tomorrow.
I don't get it.
So we got up in a tree, and it was all poison ivy the whole way. It was the only tree we could get in. And he's like, all right, we're going to make it happen. And I'm like, all right, you go up, pull it up. He didn't pull any of it up. And my face, like, well, hang this out. Face, freaking hands, mouth. I mean, so we'll find out how allergic I am. I'm normally not that bad, but we'll see.
So. Dude, I had it last week or 2 weeks. Was it 2 weeks ago? About two or three weeks ago.
You've had it so many times.
Then I had it right here on my forehand. Or my forearm.
It was like all scabbed over.
Dude, and it was like one giant scab right here.
Oh, man.
It's still a little bit scabby. You can kind of see that. There's a couple spots of scab.
Yeah, dude, that's rough.
In there.
That's one thing. That's a no-go. That's a no-go, man. You cover poison ivy, man. Poison oak, whatever.
You got to do what it takes.
Comes with the territory, bro.
Yeah. Andrew had a classmate try to... use the restroom out in the woods and use poison ivy to wipe with.
That happened.
True story.
And he got it all up in his butthole.
Yeah. Yeah.
Had to go to the doctor. Poison ivy. That wasn't poison ivy.
Had to go to the doctor.
I really don't want
to
have to edit this a lot.
Yeah. Tough
though. Anyway, but yeah. So, Michael, you've been up here quite a bit. Dude, you killed us, man. You can't come to Tennessee, I'm sorry. You don't know the kind of name when y'all came up here.
Just don't even tell them the name of the place. We're going to the Cadillac track, okay? Notebook on Onyx.
We'll just call this, like, the furnace up here or something. Or
the furnace.
Furnace.
That's good.
Birmingham?
Yeah.
Just
checking.
I killed my best buck.
No, I just went wrong with the stripping.
On Thanksgiving morning. I killed my best buck on Thanksgiving morning on the dude who owns the furnace's property.
Really?
Yeah. He owns some property out there by Taney Hill. And we know a guy who, he doesn't care about the land, I guess. Or maybe he does.
What is the furnace? Let's, for everybody listening.
The furnace is Birmingham, a strip club.
Or Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a strip club. And somehow the owner of that strip club knows somebody who lives out on 13, which is where I like pretty much grew up out there. And he basically was like, hey, yeah, you can manage this land and make a hunting club out of it. And so that's where we hunted. Yeah.
That's cool. Killed
a pretty good buck out there.
That's awesome. World. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So,
was a random.
So we just moved from a strip club to killing deer to Michael stripping, and y'all heard the Velcro because he was pulling his pants off when he walked in here.
Yeah.
This game.
I'm so I got so lost with the stripping comments. But we were talking to you about something. Oh, you asked him.
It's like what's the difference from when y'all were up here scouting and saw the bucks to what it looks like now? So especially with hunting pressure.
Well, I don't know. I've only been here for like 5 hours.
Yeah, you didn't come up last week?
Uh-uh.
I thought you... Okay.
Uh-uh. Now, they all
Me and Nathan and Tyler did.
I was supposed to come up, but my wife had some issues, so I ended up staying at home with her. So, so I didn't get to go hunting at all last week, which sucked, because last week was one of those weeks that were just killer.
Yeah, was a big deer.
Yeah, I don't know. When I went in today, I mean, I saw deer. I think I saw 3 or 4. So I mean, the numbers are still there.
Mm-hmm.
The other guy shot a decent buck. We tracked him for, I don't know. The dog ended up walking 4 miles, and that was before we even started heading back towards the boat. Now it's cutting.
Yeah, cutting trail.
Yeah, cutting back and forth, but.
Yeah.
I mean, it was probably a good solid mile and a half, you know, straight falling blood.
Yeah.
And then we just ran out.
It's tough, man.
Where do you think he did it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't know.
Mm-mm. The arrow didn't look all that great. Looked like it may have got some fat or something.
Yeah.
Because it didn't have much blood on there.
Oh, brisket shot.
That sounds like a brisket shot.
Oh, brisket shot. Been there, done that multiple times.
There was real good blood. There was real good blood. And, I mean, we followed blood for, like I said, probably, it was pretty close to a mile.
That's what my doe was. I shot earlier this season. And, dude, she bled like crazy.
Yeah.
Real bright blood. A little bit of bubbles. And then, like, on the arrows, like, a little bit of fat. And then she'd bleed for a while. She'd dry up. She'd bleed for a while, dry up. And we had a dog on her.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't find her. Just lost the trail when she circled back. So
same thing with us.
Yeah,
I would so much rather miss my shot back and hit guts.
Yeah,
the gut shot's gonna be
kill. A good dog can find a gut shot deer pretty easily.
Yeah, they like the gut. I mean, Ammon McKinney, the guy that's been on our show before.
You could also ricochet off of a branch and just hit the hind quarter. That's happened twice past two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
That joker. I mean, we found that deer, what did it go, like?
40 yards, maybe?
40 yards.
Hit the artery up high.
Hit that femoral.
Same thing with the buck last year. It deflected off of a little piece of sage, and that deer didn't go out of sight.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if that could happen every single time you hit.
Yeah. No, I've had a buddy that's done that with a doe before. Just quartering away, and he slipped too far back, but, deer died 30, 40 yards.
Yeah.
So, that's what happens when you hit him in the right spot, but I don't know. This season, I've had the best luck. I've had to bring two different dogs out to track. First doe I shot, brisket, and shot got pushed forward, deflection. And that was freaking miserable. And that was opening day in Tennessee. And then second deer I shot her 6 yards off the ground, and she was freaking about to walk on top of me.
Yeah.
So freaking shot her, according to, and went behind the shoulder. And in the moment of everything, I thought I put it like right between the shoulder and the neck, and thought I slipped it through there. Went behind the shoulder, and it exited between her legs. And she ran out, the arrow fell out, we got pulled out about 50 yards. She bled for 20, 30 yards. Testes filled up the hole, and it wasn't bleeding out of her side.
Right.
She ran, and we couldn't find her, so we brought a dog out. She ran, I think, like 220 yards.
Yeah.
But, But it shows you the importance of having a dog. That's like the guy I had coming out.
And did you see a big difference between the first dog and the second dog, like as far as the ability?
Yeah, well, yes. It might have been because of the handle. The first handler that I went with, he's been doing this for like 17 years. This dude's a professional. He sells dogs, high dollar dogs, like dogs that cost more than some vehicles on the market. But his dog just, I don't know, just wasn't doing well with the whole hunt. But this other guy, he was a newer dog, he was a bloodhound he had, and he didn't do it for a couple of years, and that dog had no problem. We had to wind it. He couldn't smell much of a trail. We just had to circle down, and he winded it and went up and found it.
Huh.
But it's just kind of fascinating. It's one of those things that, you know, Charles Miller, guy we've had on our podcast and tracked for me before, he's like, you should always have, guys spend all this kind of money on these trips like what we're doing now. You know, it makes sense to have a guy or two in your back pocket that you can call to bring a dog out.
Sure.
It just makes sense. You know, I don't know why you wouldn't do that. But, you know, when I lived in Alabama, I never even thought about calling a dog. I didn't know that was a thing, dude, until like last year. I never knew people did that.
Yeah, I didn't know that. You know, they didn't want to charge you an arm and a leg. I figured it'd be like $500. You know.
Oh, I know some guys that charge that much.
Yeah.
But yes, you're right.
One of the best dogs out here in Alabama is Woodrow. Like, have y'all kept up with him much with Woodrow and Ammon? So Woodrow's the dog, Ammon's the owner, and they find more deer than any dog I see on.
It's ridiculous.
Social media. Yeah, he's insane.
It really is.
But he lives like 45 minutes away from here.
Yeah.
So,
Woodrow, have y'all ever seen a picture of Woodrow?
Mm-mm.
No. Oh my god.
He's just like a mutt.
It's gonna blow your mind. Like, no lie.
Did you see that video where he drowned that deer?
He drowned a deer?
The dog did?
The dog did.
That's a good dog.
I think it was out here.
Wow.
It looks like it. I can see like some terrain features that look like it's out here.
Yeah.
But the dog they got up on the deer is the hunter's first deer with a bow. And Woodrow got in there and drowned it.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Dang, man.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing or a good dog. It's a good dog is what that is.
Yeah. Dog wants it.
Well, that's like one thing. I don't know what the regs are down here in Alabama, but I know in Tennessee it's pretty strict. They got to be on like a 20-foot leash at all times.
Right.
Yeah. And like, I know their rules up there is like if you find the deer and it's still alive, they have to back the dog out. It's like a couple hundred yards before you can do anything with that deer.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you know? Forgot what I was gonna say. I'm so tired.
Did you know?
Ammon was telling me about what was I gonna say?
That's oh Woodrow.
Oh yeah, man.
Oh, okay, I've seen him.
Yeah.
That dog's insane.
Mm-hmm.
He's insane. Ammon was telling me that. Like whenever he gets, I've listened to him talk on, not on other podcasts, on his Facebook page, listen to him do his videos and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When people send him like a gut shot deer or like some marginally hit shot, you know, marginal shots that most people would be told like, you might not find that deer. He loves them. Like gut shot deer puts out so much scent, you know, and stuff. The dogs just get right on it.
Yeah, I was told the same thing. It's kind of fascinating. Again, you know, it gives you a lot more confidence when you're going hunting. It's not to give you confidence to make bad shots, but it gives you confidence that if the, you know, worst comes to worst, you can call on somebody that has a trained dog that really knows what they're doing.
Right.
I got a Facebook shout out from a guy the other day who shot a buck, and he literally said, he gave me a shout out and said, I wouldn't have killed this, I wouldn't have probably recovered this deer if I wouldn't listen to your podcast about tracking.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had no idea that that was even a thing.
Yeah. Most people don't. Like,
just crazy.
My uncles down in Alabama, they did not know. I mean, they knew, like, some guy might have a mutt or a dog. Like, oh, yeah, I can track a deer.
Right.
But they don't go out week in and week out. Like, you know, I'm friends with quite a few guys up in the Tennessee Blood Trail Network. Mm-hmm. And there are guys that literally do this full-time as a job. Or they own their own business where they have the flexibility, like, you know, you shoot one in the morning. Yeah, come back that afternoon and check it or whatever. Right. Like, it's cool.
They love doing it.
Yeah.
And it's like hunting them.
The guys that do it, like you said, they have a passion for it. They want to help out those hunters to, you know, recover those deer. One of the guys that we did a podcast with and I stay in touch with him pretty regularly is the Charles Miller. He's done a couple of different elk up in Kentucky. He travels all over the place. It's like, you know, if someone needs him, he's gone to West Virginia a couple times. He's gone to Virginia a couple times. But he tracked two bull elk in Kentucky this year, and they didn't recover each one. Both of them they found living 2 days later. Dog found them 2 days later, and both were fine. Marginal hit shots is high, like, you know, up in the back strap and everything. But it's just phenomenal, like what some of those guys will do. So,
what I was gonna say a while ago is, did you know that in Tennessee, you're talking about weird law, like different laws in Tennessee? In Tennessee, you have to have your hunting license to track deer. That's what I mean. That's
for the tracker. Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that. That's cool.
Ammon, I think it was Ammon. It was either Ammon or my friend Brian. Mm-hmm. Their guy. One of them, I'm pretty sure it was Ammon, told me that he had gotten a ticket because he had crossed over into Tennessee to help track a deer for this dude. And game warden came up, gave him a ticket because he was going in the woods.
Without a license,
yeah.
I'll say Tennessee probably has one of the highest in-state hunting license costs I've ever seen. Which, but, you know, their whole thing is that's how they pay for everything they do in the state. It's all license driven. There's no outside funding for it. But I mean,
same in Alabama.
$170, dude, for like sportsman's license for an in-state guy, that's pretty pricey, man. I can go to Ohio for that price.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I talked to another guy the other day that's from Tennessee, mm-hmm. and now if you're from Tennessee, mm-hmm. like they have like a resident, like homecoming type thing where you pay the same as a resident. If you're from Tennessee and say you live in New York City,
oh wow,
you can use your Tennessee residency.
That's cool.
Like, you don't have to have a residency in Tennessee, but
it's a birth certificate or something. Sure, yeah. You're born there or something. That's cool. Yeah. I didn't realize that. But I'll tell you one thing. Like, I bought my lifetime Alabama license this summer,
mm-hmm.
and I was looking at what the lifetime license cost for Tennessee. It's like $1,900. No, or $2,100.
What? Oh my good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
If I had a decent truck for that.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Alabama, people don't understand how good people, like, Alabamians have it. Mm. Hunting license, dude, $25, $30, $45.
Get five turkeys.
Dude, like,
$3.
It's amazing on what's going on in other states.
$3 and pretty much a doe a day.
Yeah.
If you want to, with a bow. Yeah.
So, that's one thing that's kind of crazy, because, I mean, every other state, dude, I mean, it's, you know, $50, $60, $70 for a hunting license, something like that.
How do you think it stacks up as far as deer numbers, deer density?
I was telling Parker, you missed it. I was telling Parker, like, not to, like, dog on anybody from Tennessee, but it's a little easier. I think if you're just trying to kill a doe, it's pretty easy to kill a doe in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Every deer we shot this year, never scouted the place. I was looking on the map, and the deer numbers are there.
Yeah.
Deer numbers are there. It makes it fun when you're going out. I mean, you're going to see something. If you know what you're doing, if you know what you're doing down here, you go up there, you're going to find deer.
Right.
I told him that's what y'all told me about Kentucky, and then Kentucky just kicked my butt.
I mean, but you found deer, though. It's just
yeah, you pattern. Missed a good buck.
Andrew.
We all miss him.
Andrew's,
I missed a good day.
Andrew's missed tooth this year.
Dude, aren't you so a little bit glad that you didn't hit that deer, though?
Actually.
Because you didn't have to drag a deer.
When we were climbing down out of the tree, it set in. I was like, I hope that I don't, like, discover I actually hit it at this point.
Yeah, pull up Jacob.
Yeah, get down there and be like, oh. That's what happened in Tennessee with him.
Yeah.
Well, I got down there, I went to the arrow, and I was like, ooh. This is gross.
Gut shot a deer to recover the deer next morning.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So. Yeah. So is this? Would y'all consider this to be like one of your favorite times of the year to get in the woods? We're kind of mid early season, I would say.
Depends on what state we're talking. I'll tell you, Tennessee is getting hot now.
Yeah.
Down here, I mean, it's fun. It's cool. Now, mm-hmm. if it was 75-80 degrees, this hunt right here would be miserable. Mosquitoes and everything else. Oh my god.
That's... Hey, you talking about mosquitoes? It was cold and windy this morning. I still had mosquitoes around me. Yep. They're freaks.
They won't die.
You'll be
they're
like helicopter mosquitoes.
X-Men mosquitoes. these are mutants.
Yep.
It was crazy. But is it kind of like...
In Alabama, I never had success early season, but I love that last week of October going into November. Because to me, that's when the deer really... If you can find the food sources and everything, they're pretty predictable at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you know, hunting places like, you know, place down central Alabama, we'd hunt public land and stuff like that. You know, stuff's starting to kind of heat up a little bit, at least with the younger bucks.
Yeah.
You can kind of start getting some bigger deer on their feet more times during daylight, trying to start looking around, see what's going on. Plus, a lot of people are kind of, it's true, a lot of guys will bow hunt early season, first couple of weeks early season, and then they wait until pretty much gun season.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys do that. So it's a perfect time to go hit public land right now, because a lot of guys, unless it's a hunt like this, a lot of guys are like, I'm just going to wait. You know, freaking muzzleloader season comes up in a couple of weeks. You know, rifles,
right.
You know, a month out. No big deal. So
I know you're a crossbow advocate, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
For ground hunting, it just makes sense using a crossbow.
Right.
But, man, I'll bet you this hunt went up whenever more people started using crossbows. I bet the hunter numbers went up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In here, because I feel like every single person I've seen in here is hunting with a crossbow.
Really?
And a lot of them are on the ground, you know, like, basically just hunting the way you would hunt. A lot of people would hunt rifle.
Yeah.
I don't have anything against mm-hmm. it. I thought it was interesting.
No, I mean, anything to get people out there and mm-hmm. get interested in it. I mean, the numbers are just going down so quick.
You know, and today it was really hard. I told Tyler, I think my exact text was, I hate this place. Like, I hate this place, period. But the more I thought about it, you know, the more I've been like, you know, I mean, at least people are out enjoying the outdoors. You know, I pretty much just cut my hunt. I jumped that buck today, and I could have went a little bit further, but I didn't want to push anything away from those guys. You know, it really challenged it for me. It challenges me hunting public land, especially. I'm not used to people being around, you know, because where I hunt at Bankhead, I don't see people, you know.
Yeah.
But it's just.
How do y'all feel about that?
I love the cat and mouse game. I love it.
Do you feel like it helps you or hurts you to have hunting pressure pushing deer around?
Depends on what your hunting education level is at. If you're just a basic guy, like, nothing against it, because this was me, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago. If you just go down to the family farm and you're used to sitting in greenfields and stuff like that, you won't be able to handle hunting pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you're someone that's, you know, skilled on kind of what you're doing, you know what to kind of look for, mm-hmm. hunting pressure go to your favor. That's like what we did today. All right, they were pushed back there in that corner.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, seriously, this morning when I was walking in, I was like, you know, I kind of hope there are a bunch of people on the front of this place because... Mm-hmm. Like, the back is so hard to get to. I mean, it took us 2 hours to get to where we were going. And then, we had to hang our stand. And
you
had to
hang your stand.
Yeah.
And saddle.
Well, shut up. But, yeah, I mean, I like the pressure, honestly. It works in your favor. And the place I'm hunting back home, I took an afternoon that I could have gone hunting. There's, like, a cold front rolling in and everything. But I was like, I don't know. I don't really have any spots picked out, so I just drove around, figured out where the people are, mm-hmm. and kind of relate that based on what I learned there last year and, like, some terrain features and stuff. And now I've got some areas identified where I'm like, this could be a pocket. This could be a pocket.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing not to get, like, consumed with is just because you go out to a new place. Like, this is my first year hunting this place. Mm. You go out to a new place, and a lot of times that first year, is just trying to figure out stuff so you're not wasting time next year.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
oh yeah.
I've had to keep telling myself that about Kentucky. Like, when we go back to Kentucky next year, I could tell you exactly how I'd be hunting it. Mm-hmm. Because I went there, and I would never... it's not a wasted trip. I still can go back, and I still have a buck tag, but it's not
Speaking
a wasted trip.
Of, still got 2 Georgia bucks.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you guys... I mean... Y'all figured out the deer. You figured out kind of where a general area now where these deer are going to be, you know, using that.
Yeah.
Obviously.
I flung an arrow at one of them.
I watched that video.
Yeah, it was real sad.
I
guess some real tight video. Real up close. You know what I'm saying?
I guess some from tonight, too. So, well, we can do like a montage of Andrew's hunts.
Oh, dude, yeah, he turned the camera to me when I missed that doe.
You don't even watch his reaction, man.
I just had a blank stare for a while. I was like...
No, there was anger, and then there was just
I was really mad for a minute. I was like, you idiot. Because I thought I shot...
How far was the shot?
She was 24.
25, yeah.
I held for like 25, and she ducked it.
That doe, she hit the dirt, son.
I should have known, man. It's a big old doe.
That's the one I was talking about.
Oh.
I said
it's buck nuts, baby.
Oh, I was like, dude, I'm like, listen.
There's the famous picture.
He's like, hey, man. He's like, you got a deer right on top of you. I said,
this
yeah.
is Georgia.
I said, yeah, here it is right here.
Yeah, because I look over and I'm like, there's a deer right next that's eating the bush that Mike's sitting in.
No lie, like, I could hear him, he's like,
oh, dude, I was sitting over there, I was like, you better shoot that thing.
I probably would have if it had been legal.
Oh, dude, this afternoon, I turned to Jacob to tell him something, and I look back, and I see this buck standing in the corner of the field. I'm like, buck. And I put the binos on him, and he's like this little forky weird thing. And I'm like, I told Jacob, I had, you know, like my release on and everything. I'm like, I'm not going to shoot him, but I'm going to draw on him to like practice. And he starts walking towards us. I'm like, I kind of hope he doesn't walk over here. I might shoot him.
Man, I've had.
You get drawn back, and you're like, oh, I can do it.
There's been times that.
Finger slip.
I killed a deer earlier, so I don't feel like a whole ton of pressure, but there's been definite times where I've been like, you know what? A spike wouldn't be so bad.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I'll shoot a little buck all day. I'll put it on our YouTube channel and I'll catch flack for it.
Dude, yeah.
Yeah, if y'all can't start getting on some mature bucks.
No, yes.
You're going to have to hang it up.
I was going to tell him, that is so funny. Listen, he called me or he texted me something about it. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, dude. I was like, man, that's when you know you're doing something is when you got a couple of haters. And dude, that comment, like, that is the funniest thing.
Yeah, so, Jake, you mind if I share that?
Yeah, no, you're good.
I'll set up the story and you can kind of tell what happened.
Yeah, a little pocket dude.
And
pocket.
Jacob shot a yearling doe, right?
No, it was a fawn of the year.
it was clean spots, yeah.
That thing hit the dirt in probably June or something.
Nathan, the other day, he saw a little doe, and he said, I'm pretty sure the rain washed away the last spots.
Yeah, we had to wipe the milk off its mouth when we got up to it. Yeah, it was a little bitty thing.
Yeah, it was. I was like, that's kind of caught me off guard, because two does walking in, but yeah.
In your defense, it happened quick. Because my bow was still on the ground, and like he's like having to push his backpack up against the tree with a crotch to be able to draw back and not drop his backpack.
The truth, yeah, dude.
So were y'all even hung yet? Like, were y'all?
Yeah, we were hung. We were set up, and it was getting one of those spots, you know, never been to before, but it just looked good on the map.
And buck sign everywhere.
Man. Yeah, huge rubs.
Yeah, I saw y'all's video. I saw all the rubs and stuff that were in there.
Good spot.
But yeah, just got up and just caught us off guard. It was like 2:30 in the afternoon. It was like when we had a big cold front come through up there. It's like the second day of the cold front, it was high pressure because the first day was all rainy and nasty. Second day was just high pressure and those freaking deer were feeding.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, classic features, you know, 5 or 6 big red oaks. And dude, I mean, you could not take a step without stepping in deer crap. That's the first time I've ever found like actual feed trees. Ground's torn up and there's just deer crap.
Yeah, it's like everywhere. Yeah. It's almost like turkey sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like scratch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. There was a spot that I hunted yesterday evening and I just got so wet and rained out, I was like, no. But there's a bunch of white oaks dropping in there, and it was like that. It looked just like turkey scratch.
Yeah.
It was a cool spot.
That's one thing. That's one thing we talked about this year is like trying to find more so that feed trees than just like buck sign.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no point really sitting over rubs, you know, especially this time of year. Mm-hmm. Like, I can see that like in Kentucky, like early mm-hmm. season, maybe sitting over a rub line trying to find some bachelor group of bucks, but it ain't gonna really help you that much this year. Like at this time of the year, I think. But I came with a mentality. I told Andrew this. Well, if I'm going into hunt supplies, I told JT this too. We're going into hunt supplies. I'm not going to see deer. I'm going to kill deer. Like that mentality where I'm going in there. I'm not going to spot just, I think I'm going to see something. I'm going in because I think I can kill something. That's what happened this morning.
Going for the kill, man.
Yeah. That's what happened this morning, this afternoon.
Yeah.
And ever since I did that mentality, it made me think different when I'm hunting and walking and what I'm looking for. And it's worked out so far this year.
So you've done some hunts on the ground. Mm-hmm. Of course, you killed deer on the ground.
Yep.
You've shot two on the ground.
Covered one. Yep.
And now you're in your tethered mantis.
Yep.
What do you feel like you have more an advantage now being able to get up higher? Do you feel like, man, I really like that down low stuff?
It depends on the habitat. If it's privet, like around here, ground hunting would be awesome.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
The privet, mm-hmm. dude, I mean, you come through a privet thing and you have a little open, it's 25 yards wide. You just sit there, especially if it's raining. Like, I'll still hunt all day long if it's raining. Like, that mist crap, that is perfect. And just to stand there in the shadows and just freaking, that's how I killed that last doe. Or, I guess it'd be the first doe, second doe I shot. But I don't know, the saddle, I like it because, so I'm using 2 Lone Wolf sticks now along with some sound approach steps.
Yep.
To kind of get up the tree. And it's like ultra light setup because I already carry so much camera gear. It's freaking, like
it's insane,
12, 15 pounds.
So have y'all tried the Aider?
No.
When I say the Aider, the 5-step, you know, like
rock climbing. SMI, yeah. Well, it won't work for what I'm doing, but you could do it maybe with a Lone Wolf stick, but I don't think you can get, I'm not tall enough to get a 5-step on there. I'm 5'9". I can't get that Lone Wolf stick high enough up and still have 5 steps on the
bottom. Yeah. What are they using? The Gym Step? Is that what they're using?
What are you talking about?
You ain't seen it? No? Oh, man.
It might
change your whole
whole
thought. So, you know the little metal, little Gym Step?
Yeah.
All right. What they're doing is they're hanging it up. They're taking one of the 5-step Aiders,
mm-hmm.
and they're taking like a hook.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen it?
You talking about the wild edge steps with the 5-step Aider? You go up and it's like 3 steps to get up to like 25. Yeah. Because Matthew, I can't say his last name. He's done it.
That's how I get up a tree.
And he uses Wild Edge Tips. I've used Wild Edge Tips. I'm not a fan. Uh-huh. I don't know if y'all have used them. It's kind of sketchy.
This morning, he hung two muddy steps, or sticks.
Muddy?
And what, or whatever your sticks are, long little stick.
Appreciate it.
And went, and then what, six? Boom, yeah. Silent approach steps?
Yeah.
I used five Wild Edge Tips and got as high as him.
Yeah.
It was...
Do you find that they take longer to set up?
Nope.
I think they did it first.
It's, yeah.
Get the hang of the knot and getting it in the right tension and you snap it, it's... Don't use soft bark, though. Soft bark, they'll slide out real bad. It doesn't matter how tight you get it, it's going to slide. But you put it on a hard bark, hardwood.
So are you going to get a platform, or are you just going to keep using your
bar? I use that, or I have the ring of steps from Bowman as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
I almost bought a ring of steps the other day.
Dude, the ring, I like it. Like, seriously. I told I was talking to Greg Godfrey. I'm like, dude, I'm freaking loving this ring of steps. I'm like, I still want the platform, but, I mean, it's just the flexibility of it. And you can, like, you're not just, like, your feet aren't just, like, on a little platform or, like, on the side of the platform. I can, like, maneuver around. And I can, like, if I can take pressure off one leg, it's comfortable. It's nice. A lot of people are like, man, I can't be comfortable. Dude,
a lot of people think there's no way the saddle should be comfortable. But, man.
It is.
I get in there and I'm like,
it's a lot better than that sit drag.
I look forward to it every single time.
Sit drag, I thought I was wearing a pair of thongs. Like, I mean, it just didn't cover up like half my butt cheek, and I mean, just cutting into you. And I wasn't a fan of that.
But you're pretty used to the thong.
I am
right?
used to those thongs. Yeah,
stripping. I mean,
you
I saw. Remember that time?
That one time at Andrew's bachelor party, right? You're coming.
Right? You're in his books.
Yeah, that's already booked, man. Andrew, get ready.
I booked it before we were friends. So speaking of friendship, you guys are kind of like the last people that I thought we'd be doing hunts with this year. You know what I'm saying?
Really?
Yeah, because, I mean, we started our very similar podcast in the same week.
Yeah.
Yep. Like, literally the same week.
Yep.
And there was a little bit of tension in that. I mean, I'm sure y'all felt
You're
it,
like,
too.
Who's this guy?
Yeah. Who's
Bankhead.
Freaking...
Bankhead. Who do you think he is? They got it, yeah.
What is it? What do you say, Bankhead?
Bankhead.
Oh.
What do you think it
is? I was wondering. You're talking to him about Bankhead?
I don't know.
What are you talking about?
Were you asleep that whole time?
Maybe. I just heard you say
I feel
Bankhead.
Like every time somebody else starts talking, I kind of doze off a little bit.
I've been dozing over here for a little while. I
wasn't watching you, bro. I was like, I hope they're not looking at me while I'm resting my eyes.
I'm passing out.
Every time Jacob talks, I'm like, okay. It's going to be a minute. But seriously, I mean, it's interesting. You know, when it comes to deer hunting, a lot of people, it gets really serious. Like, it gets really serious, and you're like, these guys getting all up in our, you know, we got these similar podcasts, and, like, it's kind of a cutthroat type deal, and I was telling Tyler, it's just so much nicer though to have buddies, you know, to have friends that you can
see. That's what I like about it. There's not a whole lot of people doing what we're doing.
Yeah,
I mean, there's just not down here yet. I mean, it's gonna catch on.
Yeah,
but I really like, you know, having the camaraderie, you know, people to talk to, shoot, you know, ideas off each other. Yep.
Help each other out. I grew up in hunting clubs where everyone hated each other.
Yeah. Hey, fun. This is my 20 acres. You can't hunt here.
That's my stand. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I'd trade, like, legit, dude. I'd trade like a nice buck for just like this right here.
Mm-hmm.
It's like kind of camaraderie. It means more to me than.
And it's also cool that we're all on the same level when it comes to public land hunting. Mm-hmm. Like, we all have the same kind of experience with it.
Right.
So
I don't know, bro. I don't know that any of us in this space right here are on the same level as Michael Pike.
I'd say probably Andrew.
Andrew's got a lot of knowledge.
I haven't spent a lot of time with you, so.
Me and Mike, every time we go out, we see giant bucks everywhere.
I just feel like Michael, like, we were talking today, I was like, I bet Michael comes in and sees all kinds of deer up in here.
I got some close encounters with no bucks.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, I beat all of y'all when it comes to seeing bucks from the kayak.
I'm telling you, y'all
seen so many freaking bucks, man.
Parker sees bucks every single time he goes out, but I never see those bucks.
Because they're always running away. They're always running, bro.
You got to slow down.
And I'm trying, man. Oh, my God. I don't even want to talk about it. Don't even want to talk about it. But I agree with you, man. Yeah. Like, it's when you can talk to people who, you know, you talk to people at the gas station. I'm sure y'all have had it before, too. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you get into a conversation with somebody who's, maybe they're public land hunters, but just not, like, the hardcore.
Yeah, just like, I'm going to go out on the couple gun hunts or whatever. Mm-hmm. Just go out with my bow and just see what happens.
And it's almost, I mean, it's almost like talking to somebody who's with a different hobby. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, when you start talking about stuff like, we just did the podcast about thermals.
Thermals, yeah.
You start talking about stuff like that, and people are like, I'm not tracking with you. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, dude. I had a guy the other day like that. I was explaining thermals to a guy who's curious about it, and this other dude walks by and overhears me talking about it. He's like, what's that? And I was like, oh, it's thermals, this and that. And he's like, my dad don't worry about none of that. Kills lots of bucks. I was like, I bet he does, man. That's how it is.
It's a different world when you start getting into this. Me and Tyler were talking about that too today. Like, I was asking him, like, when, because Tyler didn't have his family didn't hunt or anything. He just kind of got himself into it, really. And so I was asking him a bunch of questions, trying to kind of figure all that stuff out, you know. And I was like, so when you start hunting, I started doing this, and this. And he kind of answered the question. And I was like, but when did you like start like hunting? Like, hey, I want to be good at this. Mm-hmm. Like, when I'm sitting in my circle of friends outside of these guys, I want people to be blown away by the amount of knowledge that I have, you know? Because that's what it was for me. It was like, I want people, I've heard you talk about that. The guy said the greatest compliment that somebody can give you is that you're a good woodsman.
Yeah. That was my mentor that mm-hmm. said that.
I mean, just the fact that you have a mentor in when it comes to, like, the hunting lifestyle.
That guy, he sent me a picture this morning. He went out and killed 8 squirrels and a rabbit in one morning.
Dadgum.
That's good. Anybody who small game hunts, that's pretty good, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's hard to limit out on squirrels and shoot a rabbit without dogs.
Hey, do y'all ever feel really tempted to shoot a fox squirrel whenever they come underneath you?
Dude, I got a with killer. Victoria. I got some killer video of a fox squirrel.
If I had a small game tip today, I'd have whacked one.
They're so cool.
I think they're big. Like,
yeah.
Because, like, when you go, like, down in freaking, you know, where we're from, like, Alabash or anything, you know, I'm not used to seeing, I guess, a bunch of fox squirrels. And then we go, like, some of these swamp places and stuff. And I'm like, dude, that thing is giant. We're like, that ain't no little gray squirrel. That thing is huge.
I know.
It's like the difference. I'm from West Texas, and we have jackrabbits up there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man.
And they're, like, the size of a... of a small deer.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, they're about the size of the deer you killed.
That was perfect.
Little, I mean, they're big. They're literally like three of them. Three of these rabbits could probably make it the size of a small deer. Yeah, I mean, because they're just big animals, you know? And then you got little bunnies, you know, out here. It's like, how are they even related? You know, it's like a fox squirrel. Those fox squirrels, like, their face is just like, it's, I want to mount one. Yeah. If I ever shoot one, like, with my bow, just because I'm bored one day, I'm going to probably get it mounted. And just
don't I got one. Some skins from them that I killed when I was a kid.
Really?
I used to tan skins all the time.
Yeah, Andrew's over here tanning freaking anything he gets his hands on.
Yeah, dude, I got squirrel skins, I got rabbit skins.
I thought your legs looked pretty tan today.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Is he tripping too?
I saw him and Michael's brochure together that they had. It was at the gas station earlier, but... Y'all, it's almost midnight.
That's fun.
Now let's go trudging. Let's just go ahead and start walking into the marsh now.
Yeah, y'all go there. Sleep in the saddle.
I'm gonna have to get tomorrow? To the church.
Dude, I think you could sleep in the tethered mantis with the recliner. I think you could just not even worry. I think you could do it. I'm gonna try.
I do this, so maybe I'll do it too. Like, So my bridge is right here in front of me, and I cross my hands like that, and I just go like that. I just go to sleep just like that. That's why all the deer are probably coming back to me, and I'm just asleep.
The other one is if you got a jacket in your bag, just wrap it around the carabiner.
Oh, it's like a pillow.
You make a pillow on the carabiner.
It's like the perfect height. Oh.
Just kind of just right there.
The other day, the other day I was so tired sitting in the tree stand, and I like, that carabiner is like right in front of my face, you know, and I was like balancing my nose perfectly on it, so it like propped it up, so I could just kind of sit like that, and it just, for everybody listening, I like, you can't get a visual of it, but I was
he's
like,
basically so, got his fingers up his nose.
Yeah, so like, it's like my fingers are the carabiner, and I'm doing like that so that it kind of, I can open my eyes and still look around, you know, and see, and just shut them again.
Oh, man.
Oh, I love that thing.
Yeah.
I love that mantis.
It's cool. This is, this afternoon was my fourth sit in it. First sit was horrible. First sit was brutal.
Really?
Dude, listen, okay, because I forgot my release. I forgot my bow holder. Something to freaking hold my backpack up. I was going to take a little screw and step for that. Didn't have a platform. I had one wild edge step at the top of a lone wolf stick. The wild edge step rotated on me halfway through the hunt. Dude, it was miserable. And I had the saddle way too high up, bro. It's like on my lower back. And I'm like, dude, why does this hurt so much? I'm like, why is it hurting so much? Jeez, man.
That's how it was when I got up in his saddle, which is too big for me. And
dang, yeah, dude, shots fired.
No, I mean, that's the way it is. Dude, it hurt, man. I was up in the saddle for like 30 minutes. I'm like, this sucks. Like, this is incredibly painful. I was like,
well, you should try the extra small thongs.
And cut. All right. Good podcast, guys.
We'll leave it on that note.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah, even with the size, it was too big for me, though. Like, I got to the point where it was pretty comfortable.
My best hunt was, when was it? Crap. Can I go with that? It was up in Tennessee again. I went out on a hunt, same place I shot that doe, and did everything that Greg told me to do. He's like, you know, sit low, like on your belt, you know, below your belt line, you know, tighten up your leg straps, you know, check your tether and everything. And I did, dude, it was so comfortable. It was like a 4-hour sit, dude. It was afternoon, so you got there real early. Perfect the whole time. I'm like, man, this is like awesome. And it's like, got a lot more confidence. The weird thing is, when you're attached, you know, having the confidence of like moving your feet around without like trying to hold on the crap because you don't have to. It's like mentally challenging. So that's still kind of funny. I'm like, I got to try to put my feet there. I'm like, I'm scared to fall.
Yeah, that's so true. When I was up in it, there's certain things that you're like, I know I can do that, but my legs won't let me do it because your body's like, no.
Oh, man. Dude, that, like, I'm like, oh, I could just turn around and get a shot right here. And I'm like, ah.
Yeah, you're like all locked up.
Oh, yeah. I was trying to get comfortable in it, and I'm like, trying to swing around the tree a little bit, and I'm like, my feet slip, and I just like swing around and like latch onto the tree. I'm like, all right, so don't do that.
I love it though, man. Do you got knee pads?
No, I don't even need them. I've never sat on a tree big enough that I really need knee pads. Because either I normally put the tree's like right here on me, or I can put my knee on there with my pants. It doesn't. I haven't been on a tree that the bark was so hard it was
really
hurting me. Yeah,
I have.
So
I left my knee pads the other day.
I get some.
I've got some like Walmart ones. They're not Velcro. Tyler went and bought some dang Velcro ones. I was like, "What you doing, bro?" Mine have like the little pins that
you
like,
get some
put it around it.
Timberlines, cool. And they come with knee pads.
Yep.
Yeah, but why do that when I could just spend $10 and not $10,000?
Exactly. Whatever the hell I want, spend $10 and have some knee pads.
Yeah, wait.
Knock it till you try it.
What's Tyler always say? Can't hide money.
No. Yeah. A lot of Christmases, dude. Keep telling y'all that.
So
I just know what to ask for Christmas.
He's got his loads of bets on, man. He's rocking them. I got mine soaked today. I should know it's my Camino's.
Dude,
I went and picked up some mink oil because mine are leaking.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Where are they leaking at?
Everywhere.
I'm
not taking.
You need to back up just a little bit. You're like right in the mic.
Yeah, you're being way too aggressive.
Yeah, you're so aggressive over there.
I'm not.
How long have you had your Tibbets?
A year.
Really?
Year.
And they're leaking?
Yeah.
When I was up there with Tennessee.
I mean, I put these things in the ringer.
I mean, I think I'm at There's 450 miles, I think, on those boots.
Yeah, maybe. When but I was like, up there with you, you let me wear those, and I felt like Iron Man.
Dude.
Those things are so stout, man. These things are like house slippers. Like,
yeah. Is that just, what you hunt in?
Yes, look at them, dude.
This is what I do every day.
Look at the bottom of them. Okay, put your foot out here. Look at these.
Slicks, man.
They look like my tires.
Yeah, these have too many miles on them.
It's kind of a, you got all that sick... Sitka gear on, and then you got those boots.
It doesn't match those
wore out boots.
I saw a picture the other day. It wasn't the other day. It was during the summer when we were talking on Facebook. There's a thread about leg gaiters, and you posted a picture of those
Kenitrex,
which I have, and they suck, by the way.
Really?
Oh yeah, they got all kinds of holes in them.
Yeah, dude, I love them.
And the buckle broke on one of them.
Really?
Like, yeah, and I haven't even hardly used them. Anyway.
I haven't had any issues.
But you had those Kenitrex and then those shoes. I was like, Andrew's wearing gaiters with teacher shoes. Like, what's going on here?
Yep.
Hey, man.
Yeah, I need some new boots.
Yeah, dude, get you some Lowe's, man.
Hopefully Santa Claus.
Did you get some new ones?
Yeah, I got some Caminos. It's like it's a little bit different design.
Yeah.
And that's what I was wearing today. They're awesome. The only thing is that the Tibet's, they're waterproof all the way to the top. The Caminos aren't. They have like a shorter tongue on it. So like water leaks in. I freaking found that out after going knee deep in a beaver dam log jam thing tonight. So yeah. But yeah, no, they're awesome.
Beaver dam log jam. That's the name of y'all's place where y'all are hunting.
Beaver dam log jam.
Let's go hunt the beaver dam log jam.
That's my new band name.
It could be your new stripper name.
God, no.
We got old Divergent over here. That's a pretty good stripper name. What would yours be?
Ground Zero. What would mine be?
No. Ground Zero's not good for a stripper name.
Oh God. I don't know.
Maxwell's House.
Mad Max.
Yeah, you're not supposed to have your real name.
Mad Max, I like that.
Mad Max. You'd be Ginger Snap.
Ooh, okay. That's cute. Okay. No, I like the Beaver Dam.
Beaver Dam. Is it both or one or the other?
No, it's a two-part series. It's the Beaver Jam and Log Jam.
Yeah, like they call me Log Jam.
They call me the Beave.
Oh, man.
This podcast took a left turn. Quick.
Oh, real man. Quick.
That's what you get when you got a lot of delusional guys that have podcast deadlines.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
Been up for over 36 hours straight.
Hey.
No sleep. Paddling 15 miles. We've been treading through a marsh for all day. Trying to
I don't know
quiver.
What, man. It hit me. This afternoon, before we went out, that tire hit me, and it was like, what?
Got hit by the beaver down on jail.
I didn't even see him all day until just now.
I'm writing that down, beaver jam, Lord.
The Beaver Dam Log Jam. Or the Beaver,
say that
beaver
three
Dam
times, man.
Log Jam.
Oh, no.
You know, let's just drop the log and the dam. Let's just call them Beaver Jam.
Y'all can get you, like, a radio station and be like, oh, 103.1, the Beaver.
The Beaver Jam. The Beaver Jam playlist.
We'll just make a new podcast. We'll call it that. The Beaver Jam.
I bet it'd get a lot of listeners just because of the name.
Yeah.
Have it drop on Tuesday.
Yeah, there we go.
You drop your regular one on Monday and then the Beaver drop on Tuesday.
Tune in tomorrow for the Beaver.
You're going to end every episode with that.
I'll see if we can pick that one up on Sportsman's Nation.
Call it Dan and be like, I got a golden idea.
I think Landon Legacy is normally on Tuesdays. Let's drop him. Because I got a plan.
With Beaver Jam.
There'd be some pissed off people, man. They'd like, tune into Landon Legacy every, like, faithfully. I think I'll tell you what, man. Those guys, Landon Legacy, they got the most faithful followers yeah. ever. Like, mm-hmm. people love them.
They're good dudes. I've been following them for way before they had a podcast.
Yeah.
When they were with Grant Woods.
Mm-hmm.
We had them on our show a while back.
What was it? Growing Deer TV?
Yeah.
What mm-hmm. they were doing?
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to cut them out, and we're going to go with the Beeve Jam.
The Beeve Jam.
Got to make sacrifices.
Yeah. So if y'all are listening to this. Grow. Well, boys, y'all have to get up in about, well, if y'all sleep in, y'all got about 4.5 hours.
What is y'all's plan?
I don't know.
Y'all go to sleep in and go for the midday hunt?
That's what I was telling him. Maybe that might get in at like 7.
Because everybody I've talked to, including my friends back home mm-hmm. and some guys who hunt like this part of the state, everybody's seeing them right at dark, which is when we saw them today, and people are seeing them at midday.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's having any luck early morning that I know.
I saw that big buck today at 3:20.
Yeah.
3:20, mm-hmm. really? Mm-hmm. I saw every deer that I've seen midday when I'm going in. Is yeah. about.
And it's something about the water. I really, like, down there, like, around the marsh and around, like, into the water sources, there's something about, like, midday. They're just transitioning to different mm-hmm. different stuff
you,
down
you got
the water.
Theories on that, thermals and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard you talk about that stuff.
So
you're so into it. He called me yesterday, and he's like, yeah, I'm coming up here, and the cows are all facing east. And they're all sitting down in this pasture.
Oh, I was confused. Yeah, I was hearing. I was like, what is he talking about?
I knew what he was talking about.
Those fishing terms to hunting. Cows are laying down. Don't go fishing.
Yeah, is that what they say? Yeah.
Our campsite.
They're laying down fishing.
Our catfish rod.
Yeah, dude. Our campsite's pretty cool, dude. That
mm-hmm.
like on this big point, like we had this whole point to ourselves.
Believe it.
You just said the name of the camp.
Oh, pond.
I pulled a
MP.
Ground so the last pound. One we recorded would have had like 783 bleeps in it.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. So this is actually the second time we recorded this podcast.
Yeah. First time it didn't work.
My computer went out. So.
I didn't know we were still recording. I thought you like. Yeah.
No, we're still recording, but we can stop now. All right, guys.
This has been. We'll go kill a big buck tomorrow.
The Southern Groundsman.
The Southern Groundsman.
The Southern Groundsman.
That's going to be your name now. The Beeve.
The Beeve. And the Beeve out.
You got to do it in a deep voice.
You got to
do it in a deep voice.
Tell everybody to tune in. We're going to get out of this podcast with your...
Tell them to tune in to 102.5, The Beeve.
The Beeve.
All right, I'm going to tell y'all how I like to use one of my favorite tools out in the woods, and that is the tracker from Onyx Hunt. So here's how I've been using it lately. I got this new property I'm going to be hunting this year, and the very first thing I did on the property was I went out and I drove all of the roads that are drivable in my truck. And I had the tracker on as I was driving around. So after I got done driving around, I selected the track on my app and changed it to where it's just a solid black line. So now I've got a really nice, easy to see roadmap of everywhere that's drivable in a truck on the property. So here's what that does for me so far. Now I've got an easy to read map of everywhere that you can drive in a truck on the property. But also that roadmap is actually very useful because it makes it very easy for me to see what roads are drivable and what parts of the property are most accessible and what parts of the property are least accessible. Like I said, one of my favorite tools. If you're not using it already, you should be. And if you want to give Onyx a try, go get an Elite membership and use the promo code Southern at checkout. That's going to save you 20% and it's going to help the show out. Know where you stand with Onyx Hunt. If you hunt deer out of trees, you need to go check out latitudeoutdoors.com. They got a little something for everybody, whether you're a saddle guy or if you hunt out of a climber. Of course, Latitude makes some of our favorite saddles and climbing sticks, but they also make some great packs and backpack straps that you can attach to the bottom of a climbing tree stand to make it more comfortable to carry in the woods. Probably my favorite piece of gear I've gotten in the last several years is the Ranger 22 from Latitude. It's like a do-it-all backpack for me. It's compact, which I like, but it's adjustable enough that it gets me through the whole season. It's the only pack I use. I use it in early bow season when I'm not carrying much in the woods, all the way to late January rut hunts in the deep south when it's cold and I'm carrying all kinds of clothes and all kinds of stuff on my back. The Ranger 22 is adjustable enough that I can just use that one backpack all season. And hey, all you Mossy Oak Bottomland fans, they just released the Ranger 22 in Mossy Oak Bottomland. So like I said, no matter how you like to hunt, Latitude's got something for you. Go check them out at latitudeoutdoors.com.
Well, guys, meet your new favorite summer scouting optic. And no, it's never too early to start scouting for the fall. Introducing the Vortex Crossfire Spotting Scopes with three different models of how you glass. Me and Andrew have both used spotting scopes in the summer to go out and glass fresh, clear cuts that's got a little bit of growth on them to find basher groups actually feeding in the summer. It's a pretty fun time, and also it's a great opportunity to take your kids out, especially if you can sit in the truck while you're glassing. It's always one of those pieces of optics like to keep in the truck at all times because you never know when you might need it. Be sure to stop by your local Vortex dealer to get out the all-new Crossfire Spotting Scopes, or to get 10% off your favorite spotter, head over to eurooptic.com and enter code SOUTHERN10 at checkout to save 10% on your order.
You know, one reason that we named our company the Southern Outdoorsman is because we're not just Southern deer hunters or Southern turkey hunters. We kind of hunt everything: quail, doves, waterfowl, rabbits, squirrels, you name it. I know a lot of you guys are the same way, and our friends at Whitetail Hill are like that as well. Whether you've got a hunting club, a lease, or your own property, they've got a blend for pretty much every situation on a piece of ground. I mean, they've got a seed blend for everything. If you want warm season deer forage, check out Summer Bulk. If you need to screen off a plot or cover an access route, Hideaway grows up to 12 feet tall and is built for that exact purpose. You got a duck hole or a pond edge? Check out the waterfowl blend. You want to plant for doves or quail? Check out their dove and quail plot. If you need soil that needs a little bit of work before fall, check out Dirt Doctor. And of course, they got a full cool season lineup ready to go when fall planting time gets here. And if you're unsure about what to plant, go to whitetailhill.com. They've got a seed selection guide on there that'll help you pinpoint exactly what you need on your property. So y'all check them out today. That's Whitetail Hill. Go to whitetailhill.com.